Turn for our scripture reading tonight to Psalm 136. Psalm 136. Word of God in Psalm 136. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. O give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. O give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever. To him who alone doeth great wonders, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that stretched out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that made great lights, for his mercy endureth forever. The sun to rule by day, for his mercy endureth forever. The moon and stars to rule by night, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that smote Egypt in their firstborn, for his mercy endureth forever, and brought out Israel from among them, for his mercy endureth forever, with a strong hand and with a stretched out arm, for his mercy endureth forever. To him which divided the Red Sea into parts, for his mercy endureth forever, and made Israel to pass through the midst of it, for his mercy endureth forever, but overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for his mercy endureth forever. To him which led his people through the wilderness, for his mercy endureth forever. To him which smote great kings, for his mercy endureth forever, and slew famous kings, for his mercy endureth forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, for his mercy endureth forever, and Og, the king of Bashan, for his mercy endureth forever. Gave their land for an heritage, for his mercy endureth forever. Even an heritage unto Israel his servant, for his mercy endureth forever. Who remembered us in our low estate, for his mercy endureth forever. And hath redeemed us from our enemies, for his mercy endureth forever. Who giveth food to all flesh, for his mercy endureth forever. O give thanks unto the God of heaven, for his mercy endureth forever. The text for our sermon tonight is the first verse of the psalm. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Beloved, in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God to us tonight addresses the beautiful Christian virtue of thanksgiving. Obviously, in the past few days, we celebrated the national holiday of Thanksgiving. And on that day, not just believers, but the men and women of the world observed that as well, and perhaps expressed on that day some thanksgiving for the earthly things that they have, for food and for family and for health, for example. But thanksgiving, truth giving, is a precious Christian virtue wrought in us by the Holy Spirit. Child of God is not just thankful on one day out of the year, but is to live a thankful life on every day. And it's good for us to receive regular instruction with respect to thanksgiving. It's good for us to be reminded about all that we have to be thankful for to God. It's good for us to be reminded of how mindful we are to be a thankful people. We know true thanksgiving because we've tasted of God's grace and His mercy to us in Jesus Christ. It's the child of God who truly expresses thanks because it's the child of God who alone truly can confess the Lord is good and His mercy endures forever. Those words here in Psalm 136 are some of the most oft repeated words in the whole of the Word of God. We read in 1 Chronicles chapter 16 that those words were sung by David and the people of Israel as they brought the ark back to Jerusalem. In 2 Chronicles 5 and 7, we're told that Solomon and the people of Israel sang those words when the temple was completed and when it was dedicated to the service of God. In 2 Chronicles 20, we're told that Jehoshaphat ordered the singers of Judah to sing these words as the armies of Judah went out to battle against their enemies. In Psalm 106, Psalm 107, Psalm 118, these same words are repeated again. The Lord is good, and His mercy endures forever. These words have been on the lips of God's church for many generations. Throughout her history, the church has sung a song of doxology and praise to God for His goodness and for His enduring mercy. And as the Church of Jesus Christ and as individual believers, this is our song of praise. This is our confession tonight and in all of our Christian life. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. Let's consider this Word of God tonight under the theme, Grateful for Jehovah's Goodness. First of all, let's take note of the overflowing goodness. Secondly, the enduring mercy. And then thirdly, the grateful response. We begin with the truth of God's goodness. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. God's goodness is one of His infinite attributes. Jesus says to the rich young ruler in Luke 18, verse 19, "Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God." As an attribute of God, God's goodness refers to the sum total of His perfection. It refers to the fact that God is ultimate ethical perfection. There is no sin in Him. There's no shadow of darkness whatsoever. God is good. In Himself, He's good in all of His divine willing, all of His divine thinking, all of His divine working. Now, when Psalm 136 speaks of the goodness of God, what's in view here is not only that attribute of God as He is in Himself, but especially God's goodness as He shows that goodness to His people. God's goodness to His people means that God has a favorable attitude toward His people in Jesus Christ. And viewing us with a favorable attitude, God bestows good gifts upon us. God is good in Himself, and He is the overflowing fountain of all good. He's benevolent, He's charitable to His own in Jesus Christ, and supplies to us so many good things. It's true that God supplies good gifts to all, not just His people, but to the wicked as well. But God does not give those good things, good earthly gifts, to the wicked in His favor and in His grace towards them. He bestows those good things to his people alone in his grace and his favor. One passage that shows that is Psalm 73. Verse 1 of Psalm 73, we read, "Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart." And the psalm goes on to describe that God does supply good gifts to the ungodly, but not in his favor towards them, but in such a way that they're led further into destruction and condemnation. To his people in Jesus Christ, God is good. Now for a moment, leaving aside his goodness to us with respect to our salvation, we'll come back to that later, reflect upon God's goodness to us, his people, in supplying to us earthly things. At Thanksgiving Day, that's especially what's in view. Historically, Thanksgiving Day was tied to God's supply to us in the harvest that comes through the earth. Many were farmers in the past whose livelihood was tied to the earth, and at the end of the growing season and after the harvest is taken in, we'd gather in the church to express thanks to God for the harvest and for those earthly things. And though that's not the main thing in view here in Psalm 136, it is mentioned in verse 25, "Who giveth food to all flesh, for his mercy endureth forever." In his goodness, God has provided us with much in the way of earthly things. God has supplied us in this past year with our daily bread. And often God has supplied us not just with the bare necessities for each day, but he's provided us with an abundance of earthly things. Huge stockpiles of food in our homes. Nice homes in which we can live and take shelter. Vehicles to drive and clothing to wear. God has provided us with an abundance of earthly things. God's provided work in which we can be busy. And then through the means of that work, he supplies us with money by which we're able to pay for our earthly necessities and have something left over to give to the poor. Reflecting upon all that God has given to us in supplying our daily bread, we can confess, God is good. For many of us, in the past year, we've enjoyed a measure of health and strength. We've not been laid low with debilitating diseases or a frightening diagnosis or constant time spent in a hospital. We've enjoyed a measure of good health and strength from the Lord, and knowing that, we confess, God is good. For some, there have been joys in family life. Some may have been married in the past year. And acknowledging that work of God, they confess God is good. Some may have received a child for the first time, or another child into their family, or a grandchild into the family. And we confess this is from the Lord's hand. God is good. In the past year, there have been the means whereby we've been able to provide for children and provide for the education of children. We can look back on the past year and what God has done for us as a church, preserved through another year, given the freedom and the privilege to worship God according to his word without fear of interruption. We've been blessed under the preaching of God's word with spiritual growth, perhaps numerical growth. We've enjoyed peace and unity and love and the fellowship of the saints in the congregation so that we can acknowledge before the face of God, God is good. We have received so much from the hand of God. And it's good for us to stop, think, remember, to take an exhaustive inventory of all that God has supplied to us. One of the dangers of wealthy, and from many respects we are wealthy, we've received so much from God's hand. One of the dangers is that we forget about God. So much in the way of earthly things that we forget to live in dependence upon God for our daily bread. Perhaps we're tempted to trust in ourselves and our own work ethic and our own ingenuity to provide for us. Having all of these earthly things and all of our needs met and even beyond that, we don't live in daily dependence upon God. We're so prone to forget about Him. It's good for us often to stop, to remember, to take inventory of our life and all that God has provided, and to acknowledge God is good. That might raise a question in the minds of some. Perhaps that question is, for some of us, theoretical in nature. And the question is this: when we've received much, we acknowledge that God is good. But what about for the child of God who experiences lack and struggle and sorrow? Can they as well confess God is good? Or is it only when we've had so much that then we acknowledge God's goodness? It might be the case for some that that question is not theoretical at all, but it's intensely personal. My life is filled with sorrow. I experience lack and want. There's troubles in my life. And does that mean then for me that God has forsaken me, that God is not good to me, that it's only others who can acknowledge and confess that? Might be the case for some of God's people that they experience want and poverty. Every month they're pinching pennies. They struggle to make ends meet. There's the loss of a job, or the cutback in hours or in wages in a job, or there's the failure of a business or the struggle of a business, so that there's want and lack, and the child of God might wonder, is God good to me? The question might take the form of the questions that we sing of in Psalter number 210. Will God forsake me in distress? Shall I His promise faithless find? Has God forgotten to be kind? Has He in anger hopelessly removed His love and grace from me? Perhaps a child of God looks back on the past year in which there was not health and strength. There was sickness. There was the breakdown of the body. There was a frightening diagnosis. There's impending death. Countless doctor's appointments and hospital visits and endless medications, so that the child of God wonders, has God forgotten to be kind? There might be struggles in relations. A single child of God who sees many others that are getting married, and though desiring and praying for a spouse, continuing in single life. There might be believing couples that desire to have children and God doesn't provide them with any children. There may be a lonely widow or a lonely widower who sees other couples being able to go and do things together, but they can't because they're all alone. And they may wonder, is God good to me? There may be struggles that we face in relations to others, other family members. The difficulty of knowing how to interact with them, how to speak to them, what's the right, wise way to deal with them, and the differences and the difficulties that we face in that relationship. As a denomination of churches, we've experienced trouble, division, and hardship in the last year. And perhaps we then begin to wonder, is God good to us? What are we to think about that? How do we come to understand the truth of God's goodness, not only in times of wealth and prosperity, but in times of hardship and want? The answer and the explanation of that comes in the rest of Psalm 136, verse 1. For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. That last phrase, his mercy endures forever, explains and helps us understand the goodness of God to us. God's mercy is another of his wonderful perfections. God's mercy is his pity and his compassion upon his people in their suffering, particularly the suffering of sin. We're sunk down into misery, especially the misery of our sin. And God in his mercy has pity and compassion upon us as we're sunk into misery. God is not a cold, distant, unfeeling God. He's the living God who has pity, compassion, mercy upon his people in their suffering. God's mercy is also the power by which he delivers his people and he lifts them up out of their misery. It may be the case with you and with me that we have pity and compassion upon another in their struggles, but we're powerless to do anything about that. That's not the case with God. It's not that God has this pity and compassion upon his own, but he has to, in the end, throw up his hands because he can't do anything about it. As the sovereign God, he not only is willing, he's able. He has mercy, pity, compassion upon us, but he also sovereignly and powerfully lifts us up out of that misery. God's mercy to us is revealed in the Lord Jesus Christ. God's mercy is revealed to us in Jesus Christ, his coming into this world, his suffering and his death at the cross. What pity, what compassion God has upon us in the misery of our sin that he'd send his only begotten Son into this sin-cursed world to live amongst sinners who hated him and rejected him, to endure the shame and the ridicule of the masses, and then to endure the wrath of God poured out and the curse at the cross to save an undeserving people such as we are. What pity and compassion God has upon us in our suffering. And what power. The cross of Jesus Christ is the almighty power of God to save us from our sin. It's not just a demonstration that God loves us and he has pity upon us. But the cross of Jesus Christ is effectual atonement. He made full and complete satisfaction for our sins. The mercy of God is revealed in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what's emphasized here in Psalm 136. In Psalm 136, the psalmist recounts the history of God's deliverance of his people in the Old Testament, his bringing them up out of Egypt, his preserving them through the wilderness, and his leading of them into the promised land. And as you're well aware, that's a type and a picture of our salvation. In his mercy, God delivers us out of the bondage of sin. He preserves us through this wilderness of earthly life, and he leads us on to our everlasting home. God is merciful to us, saving us and blessing us spiritually. That mercy of God endures forever. It's constant. It's unchanging. It's faithful. To speak in human terms, it stretches from eternity past into eternity future. There's no end to the mercy of God to us. There's no interruption of it, no cutting off of his mercy. His mercies are new to us every morning. That's indicated not only by that phrase at the end of the passage, but by the reference to God here as the Lord or Jehovah. He's the I am that I am, who's unchanging in himself and who does not change in his love and mercy towards his own. As Jehovah, the I am that I am, faithful covenant-keeping God, his mercy to us is faithful. It endures forever. His mercy endures to us all of our life long. His mercy endures towards us though we fall into sin, even deeply and shamefully into sin. His mercy endures towards us though we may forget about him and go through earthly life with hardly a thought of God. His mercy yet endures to us. His mercy endures towards us though we walk a dark and a lonely path here on this earth. His mercy endures forever. It's understanding that truth that helps us understand how God is good to us at all times and in all things. We can confess the goodness of God to us in times of prosperity and wealth, knowing that God's mercy endures forever. And we can confess God is good to us in times of struggle and hardship and want, knowing his mercy endures forever. It's not just this, that in the midst of hardship and affliction, I can be thankful and rejoice that I have salvation in Jesus Christ. Certainly that's true. But the truth of the Word of God is even more profound than that. It's not just in spite of the hardships of earthly life that I can give thanks and confess God's goodness. It's in times of affliction as well, and for those things, for God's care of me in the midst of those hardships, sustained by his grace, that I can acknowledge the goodness of God. And it's for those trials as well that I can give thanks and confess God's goodness. Not that we for ourselves would wish those hardships and afflictions, but knowing what God is doing through them in us leads us to confess his goodness because his mercy endures forever. He sends those hardships and afflictions, the want and the sorrow, for our good, for our salvation, to grow us spiritually, to strengthen our faith and trust in Him, to cause us to acknowledge, see our own weaknesses and our own sins, to loosen our grip on the things of this earth and to make us long more and more for the glory and the perfection of heaven. Those things that God sends are hard. No affliction for the present seems joyous but grievous. But afterwards, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness on account of what God is doing and sanctifying us through those things. We acknowledge His goodness. There's a story that's told about one of the early church fathers, a few hundred years after the death of Jesus Christ, a man by the name of Athanasius. The story is told that Athanasius and the saints that were with him in the church were facing persecution. There were even some who'd lost their life. While the enemies are pressing in upon them, Athanasius takes the Word of God here in Psalm 136 in hand. And he reads the first part of each verse, and the congregation responds, "For His mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. For His mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of gods. For His mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords. For His mercy endures forever." It's a beautiful confession that the child of God is given to make in such hardship and affliction. See the believing family struggling with want and poverty and lack, confessing God is good. To hear from the lips of the child of God whose body is racked with cancer, who faces death, confess God is good. Hear the lonely single. Hear the believing couple with stillborn child in hand. To hear the grieving widow at the graveside say, God is good. To hear the child of God in affliction to confess the goodness of God. It's a beautiful confession that God gives to me. Confession born out of this knowledge, God is good, His mercy endures forever. It's something that we need constantly to be reminded of. It's so easy for us to lose sight of that. And the Word of God here in Psalm 136 in a unique way does that. In every one of the 26 verses of Psalm 136, there is that same refrain at the end, "For His mercy endures forever." Picture it as if the Holy Spirit takes a big nail, a big spike, on which are written the words, "For His mercy endures forever." And the Spirit hammers that spike home into our hearts and minds with 26 blows of the hammer. For His mercy endures forever. For His mercy endures forever. For His mercy endures forever. 26 times so that truth is hammered home, so that nail sticks in our heart and mind, and we never forget and we never lose sight of that. God is good. For His mercy endures forever. Knowing that, we give thanks. knowing the truth that God is good to us in Jesus Christ, for his mercy to us endures forever, the response is the response of gratitude. The word that's translated here as give thanks is an interesting word in the original. It literally means to extend the arm and to point at something. Giving thanks is extending the arm and pointing. And the idea is that we can point at something in our earthly life and then with the finger trace the line up to the giver. This is thanksgiving. As we take inventory of our life and whatever it is, the good gifts God has given or the struggles and the sorrow, and with the finger we point at them and we trace the line up to God who is the giver. Teaches us important truths about what genuine thanksgiving is. Genuine thanksgiving is born out of a heart that's plowed and watered and cultivated by the Spirit. True thanksgiving is born out of a heart that knows its dependence upon God. The arm is extended and the finger pointed up to God. All of these things come from the hand of God. I'm wholly dependent upon him for all things, for body and for soul. True thanksgiving is born out of the heart that knows our own undeservedness. The finger does not point at the things of earthly life and then back to self, but the finger is traced heavenward to God. True thanksgiving grows out of a heart that knows its own undeservedness, how undeserving we are of God's goodness and his mercy to us in Christ. And flowing from such a heart is sincere gratitude and praise to God. The Word of God is an exhortation one to another. Fellow members of the Church of Jesus Christ, oh, give thanks to the Lord. This is to be our life. This is our calling. In response for all that God has done for us, to live in thankfulness to him. At times, that thanksgiving seems to flow quickly and easily, especially when things in our life are well. It's harder when there are struggles in our life to be thankful. We're tempted to be bitter, to be discontented, to be angry with God or angry with others. It's a struggle then, truly to be thankful. And what that means for us is that our mind must rest in the Word of God and in this truth. That in the midst of hard circumstances of life, we come to rest in the goodness of God, his enduring mercy which never fails, his love for us in Jesus Christ, and then knowing and being reminded of all that God has done for us in his enduring mercy, we give thanks to him. Thanksgiving is not just for one day out of the year. This is every day for the child of God. Give thanks to the Lord. And thanksgiving is not just for certain circumstances of life when things are easy and we have much. Yes, in those circumstances, give thanks to God and give thanks to him in the midst of struggle and affliction for his goodness and his mercy. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Amen.